First reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1 to 11. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan that they have made to another Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people, because the Lord's time for cancelling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt one of your people owes you. However, there needs to be no poor people among you, for in the land of the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance. He will richly bless you if only you fully obey the Lord your God and be careful to follow all these commands I am giving you today, for the Lord your God will bless you as you have promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If anyone is poor among your people, in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbour this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year of cancelling debt, is near, so that you do not show ill will towards those needy among your people and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them that do without a grudge at heart. Then, because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards those of your people who are poor and needy in your land. This is the word of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive someone who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. He was not able to pay. The master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive a brother or sister from your heart. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Father, we thank you for your words to us. And I pray that you would use my words now, and your Holy Spirit would be speaking into our hearts, and that we would have ears to hear what you would speak to us this day. Amen. If you'd like to take your seats, I apologise for my slight croakiness. Combination of a summer cold and the football. Andy will tell you how loud I shouted when that second goal went in. But we've heard some great passages of scripture there. And actually that first one that we've heard, actually I could just spend all day on that. But we're going to focus on the second of the two. But I would encourage you to go back home and read through them both. In the gospel reading, what we heard was Jesus using the theme of financial debt to teach about forgiveness. And if we think about Jesus using the situation of financial debt, actually financial situations, debt and the consequences of debt were powerful in Jesus' day. And unfortunately, they are still powerful today. And although this series is called Giving in Grace, this parable isn't primarily about our finances, but it does teach us so much about living a grace-filled life, which ultimately affects every area, including our pocket. So what does this parable have to say to us today? Well, the parable starts with Peter asking how often he should forgive. The rabbis taught that you were forgiven and that you should offer forgiveness only 3 times. I'm pretty glad that's not the case today. But actually, when Peter comes and says 7, he thinks he's being mega generous there. But forgiveness, in the idea of the rabbis, was limited. Peter, as I say, thought he was being incredibly generous. What's Jesus' response to you? No, Peter, not 7. You think you're being generous, mate, but you're not. It's 7 times 7. Well, 70 times 7, I should say. What he's really saying is forgiveness is without limit. And what we see in the parable is unlimited, abundant forgiveness. And if we think back to the parable, we see 2 debtors. A slave who's indebted to the king, who was released from a huge debt. And then that very same slave would not release a fellow slave from his comparatively smaller debt. And then we see at the end the quite scary consequences of that. The first man owed, it says 10,000 talents. Well, that's a massive debt. It's beyond our comprehension. We're talking billions of pounds in today's money. This guy had absolutely no way of repaying that debt. But he went back and he said, can I have a bit of time to pay the debt? But be honest, that was never going to happen. The king could have said, okay, you ain't going to pay it back, but I can take instalments. I could recoup a little bit of my money, even if I won't get it all. But no, what he does is he completely cancels the man's debt. In comparison, when the man goes to the second guy, the debt is small. But not insignificant. About 3 months' wages. If you or I were in debt about 3 months' wages, it wouldn't be an insignificant debt, but it wasn't billions of pounds. In comparison to the first debt that the man had been released from, it was small fry. But he failed to release the man from his debt, and he was handed over to the consequences of that. So why does Jesus use debt in this parable? Why does he use a financial illustration? Well, the word forgiveness, if we look at the Greek, literally means to cancel debt. You and I are like that first man. Our debt is our sin. Our debt is the thoughts, the deeds, everything else that separates us from God. And we have absolutely no means to repay that, even if somehow, sometimes we try. But like the first man in the parable, in King Jesus, we receive forgiveness beyond what we deserve. And as a result, we are to live as forgiven people. Grace and mercy that we receive is without limit. So, excuse me. What we don't hear in the parable, and you don't hear that being said, is actually what the release from debt cost the king. The king had basically wiped off billions of pounds in today's money. And when we think about our debt, Jesus bore the cost of paying our debt and setting us free. God doesn't defer our debt. Jesus cancels it in full. So far, so good. First man completely free, set free from all his debt, an image of how we are forgiven in Christ. But what about the rest of the parable? Having been released from debt, the first man fails to offer the same generosity to the second man. My guess is he didn't see himself as an ex-debtor anymore. And although we are God's forgiven people, I think actually it's good that we come back week by week and we realise that we are God's forgiven people. If we fail to grasp, if you and I fail to grasp the immense gift of grace that we've been given, we will struggle to extend that grace to others. And the end of the parable is pretty challenging if you go back and read it. Having been set free, the first man could have lived a grace-filled life, but he failed to do so. And we see at the end of the parable that he was handed over to the consequences of this. Jesus then directly applies his parable to forgiveness. As forgiven people, with our unpayable debt cleared, we are called to forgive and to release others from their debt to us. Jesus says this, "My heavenly Father would also do this to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Echoes here of the Lord's Prayer. So what about us? What about you and me? We have received unlimited, unbounded forgiveness from God. What is our response? Is it to live grace-filled lives, extending the unlimited, unbounded grace that we've received to others? What others owe to us in comparison to the debts that we owe are small. But it doesn't mean that it's insignificant. 3 months' wages in the parable wasn't insignificant. And the hard call of following Jesus is that we are to forgive because we are forgiven, and to forgive without measure. If we are the community of the forgiven, our relationships with one another should be marked by that generosity and that forgiveness. What does that mean for us today? And this parable shows us that as God's forgiven people, we are called to live that grace-filled life. We have received grace. Our call is to extend grace. And although the point of this parable isn't about money, it's about forgiveness. Living a grace-filled life doesn't just demand a little part of our lives. It demands everything, including our pocket. In the words of the hymn, one of my favourite hymns, "When I survey the wondrous cross, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." And I guess my question to myself and to us is, are we seeking to live generous, grace-filled lives because of who we are in Christ and the abundant grace that we have received? And I was on the receiving end of some abundant grace that other people had received a number of years ago. A number of you will, and in a financial sense as well, where somebody's discipleship and their grace-filled life directly impacted on their pockets, and we were the recipients of it. Many of you will know that in 2011 our youngest son died. And my husband was contracting at the time. And as you can imagine, he wasn't in a fit state to be doing any work at that time. And our eldest son's godparents, who were also godparents to him, came and they gave us a cheque for £2,000. And they said to us, "We want you to take this. We want to pay your mortgage and some of your costs for the next 2 months. And that's a challenge. And I guess I ask myself the question, do I extend that generosity to others? And they said, when you can, do that for somebody else. And I guess that's the call of the gospel. Jesus has given us so much, the call is to do that for somebody else. And when we do that, and we've done that in little bits, and I wouldn't say if you added up what we've given back, we're fully there yet, but it's not about paying back. It's not about paying forward even. It's about having received abundantly, and therefore giving abundantly. And actually I see this week by week, the outworking of grace-filled lives at the gathering place, where we have a cafe on a Wednesday morning, a welcome to people, and Sarah, the debt advisor from Derby City Mission, spending time with people and helping them in real financial difficulty. Some come into the cafe because of their debt, some come in for other reasons. Cancelling debt and seeing people set free is on God's heart. You can't read through that Deuteronomy passage without seeing that. And as a team of people there, our call is that we have received unlimited grace from God, and we are called to extend that to others. And hopefully, that is what I see on a Wednesday morning. It means offering hospitality. It means not judging people and listening. And it means debt advice and offering food bags where needed as well. And I wanted to share with you a few stories from the gathering place. And out of that abundant grace that we have received as Christ's people, that grace is poured into other people's lives. There was one lady, I would call her N. She came having fled domestic violence. She'd been placed in temporary accommodation, and she was told that she would have to clear £2,500 worth of rent arrears. She actually had no idea she had that debt, and she couldn't move into more appropriate accommodation until it was cleared. Having spent a lot of time spending with housing officers and support workers, half of her debt was written off. And then the other was proven to be a mistake, and she had no arrears and was offered a home for her young child within days. And she turned up with a smile on her face, with the keys in her hand and a big bunch of flowers for Sarah. We've received abundantly, we give abundantly. Another person came into the clinic a time ago, and he had some help with his finances. He was in and out, he'd been visibly deteriorating into drink and drugs, and came back after a period of absence last week to show us that he was doing well, living in his own flat, saying that I feel I'm on the right path now. He said that he saw that we cared for him, that we were worried about him. So he wanted to show us how he was doing and thank us for looking out for him. There are many other stories, and I've got some more here. We have received abundantly. We give abundantly. Having received forgiveness and grace beyond limit, the call to us is to extend that grace to others. The call is to live grace-filled lives. So how does all this relate to giving? How does this relate to the theme of the series? Well, Jesus uses a very real day-to-day illustration of financial debt to explain the liberty and grace that God brings. As the community of grace, we need to live lives in grace-filled ways. And I've said already, that impacts on our pocket. It also impacts how we handle our money. Taking responsibility, not judging others, extending grace to them. It impacts how we live with one another. We have received the abundant grace and forgiveness of God. We have a very, very powerful illustration of release from debt. We see that that is on God's heart, particularly from that reading in Deuteronomy. Having received abundantly, having received the unlimited, unbounded forgiveness and grace of God, how much we've received, how then shall we live? Amen.